We've been looking at biblical church leadership. This is a part of a series called Marks of a Healthy Church. And we've been looking over these past few weeks at what it means to be a church leader from the Bible. That's what biblical church leadership is. How do we select those who will serve amongst us? What do they do? What do they look like? And one of the things that we see in Scripture is that those who lead us, whether they are the elder pastor or deacons, they need to be a role model. Now, in life, we actually have many role models and those that we seek to follow. When you're younger, your role models tend to be your parents. Maybe as you grow older and wiser, you begin to see the sense of your parents and how they raised you as children, and they are still your role models for good behavior and how to conduct yourself. Maybe your role models were your teachers and lecturers. Those in authority should model good behavior. In sport, we look to those who are involved in sport to model fair play. That they will listen to the referee, that they will play to the rules, they will not cheat. And in our friendships and relationships, we look to those who to be our role models, those that we trust in. But what about the church? What does a biblical church leader look like? And what characteristics should emulate in their lives? Who should be their role model? Who do they follow? Now, we've been looking at these five topics of biblical church leadership. We've been looking at the congregational context, that church leadership does not operate in a vacuum, that we operate as leaders in a church, the people of the church. Then we looked at character matters, the qualifications of an overseer or a deacon. And 95% of those qualifications are all about character. It's not about ability or qualifications per se, or what they have written on a piece of paper, or how many letters they have after their name. It's all about their character. Then last week we looked at the charismatic nature of biblical church leadership. And we looked about how we use the spiritual gifts that God has given to those who are in leadership to lead, because they are to be an example and to serve the church. They are to serve the people of Christ. And now we're going to look at Christ-likeness of leaders. And then next week we'll finish by looking at how church leadership should mirror the nature and character of God. So that's our roadmap. And this week we're looking at this whole issue of church Christ-likeness in leaders. Now, before I start, we need to make a few obvious statements. And that is, who is in charge of the church? Who is in charge of Edlesborough Baptist Church? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the one who is the head. It is not your pastor or elder who has in charge of the church. It is Jesus Christ. He has control and authority over this church and the church. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, who seek to walk uprightly with him, who acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, are part of that church. And Christ is the head over all those who believe in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes, "And Jesus is the head of the body, the church." Now, Paul uses a metaphor. He describes the people of God as a body, where we're all members of the body, but the head is Jesus Christ. He's the head of that body, and we are the arms and fingers and hands and body and legs and toes. We are part of him in the body. In Ephesians 1 verse 22, Paul writes, "And Jesus put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And then Peter, who actually was with Jesus for 3 years, listened to the teaching of Jesus, followed Christ, and then became one of the first pastors and head of the church in Jerusalem as a church leader. He describes the church in a different metaphor. He describes it as a building. That we are like a building, not a physical, but a spiritual building, where we're like individual bricks or stones that are being put together. And the person who is over all of that construction is Jesus Christ himself. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, as you come to him, that is Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So when I talk here about biblical church leadership, yes, there is a degree of authority, there is a degree of control, but ultimately that person who is in charge of the church is Jesus Christ himself. He is above all the elders and overseers and pastors and deacons, and church leaders serve him and serve the congregation. With that in mind, I want to lead to you three things about being Christ-like in biblical church leadership. Church leaders are to lead like Christ. There is a leadership element to being a biblical church leader. Church leaders are to set an example like Christ. They are to be Christ-like, with an example that others can follow and see. They don't follow the man, but they imitate their faith. Thirdly, church leaders are to serve like Christ. You see, biblical church leaders are not there to be at the front and to be the personality and to be charismatic where people follow the man, but they are to serve like Christ. They are to be humble servants. In fact, when we come to look at that, the Bible uses a different word, which is very demeaning, but also reveals the heart of being a biblical church leader as to what it means to serve like Christ. So we're going to come to the first item. And that is that we, church leaders, to lead like Christ. So turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. That's that first reading that we read. And from verse 24 to 25 in that passage, we're going to be reading a little bit about church leaders to lead like Christ. Now in verses 15 to 22, what we see in our reading here is where Paul tries to encourage Timothy to be a worker approved by God. And he points out that as a pastor and overseer elder, don't be quarrelsome. Don't get involved in arguments and quarrels in your church, because it only leads to ruin and it spreads through the church like gangrene. You know, we've got gangrene. It's like an infection that spreads through your body. And then it causes pain and anguish. And when you've got a pastor or a leader who's quarrelsome, who's always picking fights with people over words or meanings or opinions, it spreads like gangrene, like an infection through the church, and that church becomes unhealthy. Paul says, don't do that. Don't go down that road. Don't be someone who is actually always involved in quarrels or irreverent babble, and even points out two men in the church who have been teaching that the resurrection of the dead has already happened. And that's been upsetting to a lot of Christians in the church where Timothy was a pastor. It was false. The resurrection of the dead hadn't happened. Why? Because the resurrection of the dead only happens when Jesus Christ comes back again. And Paul was adamant, he hasn't come back yet. We are still waiting. So look out for false teachers, because they will spread discord and infection in the church. He then goes on in verse 20 to talk about the fact that in a church you've got vessels of gold and silver, wood and clay. In other words, you've got people of different abilities, different backgrounds, different settings. They all come to faith in Christ in different ways, and God can set them apart as holy so they can be honourable for use in the church. Don't look at people and their settings. Some people will be rich and wealthy, some people will be on benefits. Some people will have a large family, some people will be widows. Don't look at their circumstances or their appearances, because God can use people in different ways, whether they are vessels of gold and silver or wood and clay. God makes us ready for every good work. And then we come to verse 22, where Paul lays out to Timothy that you are him to be a leader who leads like Christ. And he frames it in this way. He says in verse 22, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." In other words, don't follow the cares and pleasures of this world. What other people value as a young man, I want you to value righteousness, faith, love, and peace. I want you to call on God, because you are going to be an example. You are going to be someone who are going to be leading like Christ led the church when he was alive. He goes on, verse 23. "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels." Again, he's saying, don't get involved in quarrels. Don't argue with people in the church. Speak the truth of God's word and let the Holy Spirit work in their hearts and minds. Don't browbeat people and don't argue with people. And then in verse 24, he says, "And the Lord's servant must not be." And it's very interesting, because he's writing to Timothy, an overseer, elder pastor. This is a personal letter. And he's writing to encourage him, and he says that you are the Lord's servant. Now, that word that Paul wrote, the word servant in Greek, means someone who voluntarily offers them up to be a slave. That's what he is describing Timothy as a pastor to be like. You are going to be someone who is going to offer themselves up as a slave, and you are going to serve the church. That's a strong word. How often do you come across pastors, elders, deacons who would describe themselves as a slave in the church? Not often. You often hear, "Well, this is Pastor Mark or Pastor Mike, or this is Senior Pastor, or this is Pastor Emeritus," and we have all these grand titles for people in the church. But Paul says, you, Timothy, as a young man, as a pastor, an overseer, elder of the church, the Lord's servant. He describes him as a slave. You are to serve the Lord, and you're to serve and lead like Christ. And then he gives us four things for us to consider of what a church leader must be. Look at the words. "And the Lord's servant must be." This is not something you opt into or opt out. You must be like this. First of all, not quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. The Lord's servant, a biblical church leader, must not be quarrelsome. He's going back to that idea about not arguing people, not trying to win the argument. And Paul is relating to what Jesus Christ was like. In Mark chapter 2, we find that Jesus was not quarrelsome, but kind. We find that Jesus repeatedly came up against the Pharisees and the scribes who had questioned the authority of Jesus. And he came up against people who were trying to trick Jesus. And Jesus spoke with kindness and gentleness to the scribes and the Pharisees. He was even criticized by the crowd, who said, "Well, he eats with sinners, tax collectors, people who are morally unclean." And Jesus spoke to them kindly, gently. He didn't get into an argument with them. He wasn't quarrelsome, and he did not criticize them. You see, biblical church leaders need to be able to speak to people gently and kindly and not get involved in quarrels. Secondly, able to teach. That's a mark of an elder, those who are able to teach. And in Mark chapter 1, when we look at Mark's gospel, and we'll be looking at this when we come to later in the year, when we go through Mark's gospel, in Mark chapter 1 and in verses 21 to 22, Jesus is teaching. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. You see, Jesus had that ability to teach. And if leaders are going to be like Christ, they need to lead like Jesus and have that ability to teach, not their own words or opinions, but the truth of God's word. We also have patiently enduring evil. What does that mean? Well, if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, in Mark chapter 15, Jesus was before Pilate. Pilate bombarded with Jesus with questions about his authority, about his kingship, about him being the Messiah. And Pilate was amazed at the patience of Jesus while being accused. Later on in Mark 15, verse 16, Jesus endured the mockery and physical beatings of the Roman soldiers, and he was patiently enduring evil. He did not retaliate. He had the power to wipe out all the Roman soldiers in front of him, but he chose not to do. He patiently endured evil. In Mark 15, verse 21 to 31, Jesus endured the mocking of the two criminals who hung crosses either side of him, and the mocking from the crowd. And Jesus, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even as he hung there and endured evil, he was patient and he was forgiving. Biblical church leaders, if they're to lead like Christ, need to endure evil patiently. Many a pastor, many an elder, many a deacon will be ridiculed for trusting in God and God's word, but they are to wait upon it patiently, enduring evil. And fourthly, correcting his opponents with gentleness. That's what we find here in verse 25. Able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. You see, when Jesus was teaching, he often rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes, but he did it with gentleness. He did not demean people. He did not openly criticize people and put them down. He called them out. Yes, he spoke the truth, but he did it with gentleness. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There's a gentleness about Jesus. And biblical church leaders have to lead like Christ with a gentleness in what they do and how they say things. So often, we can be quick to pick up on people. We can be quick to retaliate when someone says something which is outrageous. We can be quick to try and correct someone's thinking about what the Bible truly means. And we can come across harsh, cold. We are to be gentle with our words. We are to correct those who have the wrong view of Jesus or the wrong view of God or God's word, but with gentleness. We don't roll over and say, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's your opinion. And yeah, okay, yeah, maybe that's true." No, we don't say that. We say, "I'm sorry, but you're wrong." But we do it with love and gentleness. Not to try and win an argument or put people down, but we do it with gentleness. And then we see that church leaders are to set an example like Christ, a second point. And here, if you turn with me to 1 Timothy in chapter 4, we haven't read this bit, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4, just a few pages back from 2 Timothy 2, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul gives Timothy, in this letter, an example about how to lead. He says, let no one despise you for your youth. He's a young pastor. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Five things that he gives to Timothy as a young pastor about how to set an example. Because anybody who's in church leadership has to be an example like Christ. He's been an example in speech. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, when you hear someone talking, you get a measure of the person. What's in their heart? What are they thinking of? How do they talk? What do they talk about? And for those who are leaders, they need to be set an example in their speech. They are to speak the truth of God's word, even if it means it will hurt someone's feelings. Well, I'm sorry, but what you've said or what you're doing is wrong according to God's word. I'm correcting you, but I'm speaking the truth in love and with gentleness. We are to set an example in conduct. That means the way you live. We are to be those who conduct ourselves honourably amongst people. Set an example in the way you live, not just of what you say, but how you live. And then also in love. And that love is actually the self-sacrificial love that Jesus had. In John chapter 13, Jesus writes, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also to love one another. In other words, I loved you with a sacrificial love. You are now to love others in the same way. And then we have in faith. Have they in verse 12? Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith. That word faith actually means faithfulness. It's not a faith that you believe in God and believe in God's word, but a faithfulness that you continue to believe. That nothing wavers or your faith or makes you wobble. That you are faithful to the fact that God is a holy God, a righteous God, that he's a loving God, he's a God of mercy and compassion, that he has sent his son to die for our sins, that he has given to us his word, that everything we need to know about God is written in his word, that we are faithful to believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Saviour, and faithful to believe that he will be with us throughout our lives, right into the point of our death, when we will then be with him, which is a far better place. Those in biblical church leadership need to set an example of their faithfulness. So many times, sadly, in the wider church, church leaders that we looked up to have fallen because they were unfaithful, and they became unfaithful in their belief of God's word and of God himself and Jesus Christ, and then were caught in sin or sexual immorality. And that leads us on to impurity. Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. That word purity actually means to be removed from sexual immorality. Those in leadership positions need to be faithful to their wives if they're married, faithful in their singleness if they're not married, faithful if they're a widow or widowed. They are to be faithful and above reproach, that no accusation lands on their doorstep. And then lastly, church leaders are to serve like Christ. And here I'm going to turn to Mark in chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we read about Jesus giving us a wonderful example of what it means to serve the church. And it comes about from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, when James and John, they want to sit with Jesus in heaven, one on his right hand, one on his left hand, in the throne room. They want to be ruling with Jesus. And Jesus says, That's not going to happen. That is not for me to give. In fact, he then describes the fact that Jesus, although he is the ruler of it all, he is the creator of everything, he does sit at the right hand of the throne of God. He has come for a different reason. And he comes and says to us in verse 45, he talks here about the fact that even those in the world lord over the people, they exercise authority, but that's not to be you. And then Jesus gives an example of what it means to serve. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus had every right for people to bow down before him and for him to rule over them. But he said that he came to serve. He came to do the Father's will. He came with a plan for redemption. He came with the view that he was coming to die on that cross to be our sacrifice for sin. That through his sacrifice we could be reconciled back to God. He came to serve. He had every right for other people to serve him. He had every right to exercise his authority. He had every right to tell the Roman Caesar, "You are nothing and I will wipe you out." He had all that power and authority, but he didn't. He came to serve. And church leaders are to serve like Christ. They have to have that humble and humility to serve. A sacrificial service. It's not about them. It's not about building their pastorate. It's not about building numbers in the church. It's about them serving like Christ and giving themselves for the church. So where do we land? Well, biblical church leaders should radiate Christ-likeness in their faith, and they are to lead like Christ. They are to set an example like Christ, and they are to serve like Christ. But what happens if we are weary, beaten down, discouraged? What happens when we find that actually being someone who leads the church is wearisome and heavy? It lays heavy upon your heart, teaching people week in, week out. To see people grow and they don't grow, they fall back, they fall away, they stop coming to church. How does a biblical church leader respond to that? Well, he looks to Jesus Christ. In the same way that all of us, when we struggle and go through hard times, look to Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who will actually give us the rest that we need for our souls and the strength to continue. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says to them very clearly, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a wonderful verse. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to give us even greater encouragement. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What keeps you up at night? What stops you from sleeping? What plays upon your mind during the day? What's heavy upon your hearts? All of those things that we carry around with us, take them to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When we go through hard times, when we're in hard places, when circumstances overtake us, we are to turn to Jesus Christ. When biblical church leaders want to know how to lead and serve like Christ, they need to turn to Christ. I need to turn to Christ. Because in Christ, He is the one that gives rest for my soul. In Christ, he is the one who gives me a rest from the burdens that I carry. Why? Because Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. Isn't that wonderful? We have a Saviour who is gentle with us, who doesn't condemn us because we are forgiven because of what he has done on the cross for us. He is lowly and humble. He is to serve us. He wants to see us flourish and grow in our Christian walk. Come to Jesus. Jesus is that gentle one, and lowly in heart. And biblical church leaders are to set an example to be like Christ, being gentle, humble, willing to serve the church, and to see believers flourish and grow. Amen.